Thank you, Mike, for leading us. Appreciate it. The gentlemen for leading us today. Good to see you. Get right into this here. Last December, I took a trip to go down and see Misty and Jason in Childress, Texas. And when Carla's mom and dad passed away, they left some things. And the kids decided, divided them up and said, we want this and we want that. And Jason and Misty, very musically inclined, wanted their piano. They didn't have the time to come up to Columbia, Missouri to get it. So I thought, I was really frustrated because of the knee and all that was going on. So I took a week of vacation and headed over to Columbia and loaded the piano in the truck and then headed down to Childress. And usually when I travel, I'm really focused. I don't know about you. I don't want to stop. I just want to get there. And so when I stop, I usually gas up, go to the bathroom, get food. If I need it, coffee. If I'm not getting food, and then off I'm back. It's just, let's go. And I've passed time and time again these scenic outlooks. Have you done that? Even if I don't pull over and see the scenic outlook, you can still see some fantastic things traveling on the interstate. So I decided, to stop and to look at the scenic outline at the scenic places on the way back. I just had a little time. I said, I'm not rushing. I'm just going to take it easy. And I thought we might do that to just take a scenic outlook about what God's Word said about heaven today. I know on the way back, when I started the first day, hit Tennessee, it was beautiful. It had snowed, bright and sunny, and there's some incredible scenery in the state of Tennessee. So, I got some of that. Spent the night. Second day started snowing. And I was concerned because I knew I had to go through Virginia, West Virginia, and that's going to take a while. And snow was coming down, so I didn't see as many beautiful things, but I did pull over and look. And that's really not very pretty, is it? But it's got snow on it, so there you go. But it was kind of a rough day, and I traveled. Next day cleared off and hit Virginia. And I mean, there's just some beautiful things if you just stop and take the time to really look and to see God's creation. And it really, really was marvelous, quite a sight to see the snow-covered hills. I still go out fairly frequently and just stand on the front porch out there and just look at the mountains. I didn't grow up where there were mountains, so they still fascinate me. I find them to be just absolutely wonderful and really enjoy them. And the outlooks out there, now I didn't actually see this. I just saw this online. I thought, wait, that's a beautiful picture. I would have stopped, but there's too much green for that to have happened in December. But you see just these incredible, beautiful, beautiful sights. And I wanted to just do that for a little bit this morning. We've had some losses lately, people that we love, that we miss. And it's just a good time, I thought, for us to talk about heaven. I don't know that you're going to learn anything new. We've studied it before, maybe a different perspective, but still to be reminded of what we're after and where we're going, it's just a good thing. Now, I believe that there is heaven. I do so for many reasons. One of the reasons is that the soul of man has always longed for a place like heaven. You go back in history, it doesn't matter what nation, it doesn't matter what continent, it basically doesn't matter the society. Almost everyone from the beginning of recorded history had some kind of expectation of eternal life, of life beyond this life. And most of them had the belief that there was a place where the people who did good would go, and there was a place where the people who did evil would go. Wonder where that came from. Heaven and hell. Well, anyway, most of us have that longing in there. We know that there's this place, and I have never met anyone who was just bound and determined to go to hell. And I'm grateful. I mean, honestly, people just don't do that. Usually, hopefully not. And the soul has always felt there was such a place as heaven. The Bible tells us, Ecclesiastes says, he's made everything appropriate in its time. He's also set eternity in their heart. And I think that we feel that there's a heaven. We long for heaven. And I know you can say, well, that doesn't prove it's all there. And the proof is the next point. But we know that it's there, and we think about it, we long for it, we hope to go there. And the main reason I believe that there's a heaven is simply because the Word of God says there's a heaven. And we have all the promises about heaven and the promises of eternal life. And it's really important for us to understand that. I said for some years, if God's Word says it, I believe it, and that settles it. And one day I was thinking about that, and I thought, you know, that's not right. And it really isn't, so I changed my saying now. If God's Word says it, that settles it, whether I believe it or not. God's Word is never wrong. And God's Word tells us there's a heaven and there's a hell. And folks, we really need to pay attention to that. It's very important that we understand this. So if, when the time comes, and hopefully no if there, and we get to experience heaven and we get to go and we get to be with God, I genuinely hope that we will understand that there are some very special things waiting for us. Well, what does the Bible say? As we take this overview of what the Bible says about heaven, we stop at the overlook and examine it. Well, the Bible tells us that heaven's going to be a place prepared for us. Some years ago, we worked with a church in Florida. Most of you knew that. One of the deacons there, his wife left to go be with their parents. Her mother was having surgery, and she was going to be away from him for anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks. Well, this poor guy, he's a good friend, but folks, he couldn't boil water. I mean, he was hopeless when it came to feeding himself. And so the church sort of reached out and said, well, let's feed you and take care of you. And, you know, I went out to eat with him, took him out a couple of times while she was gone. And then I said, once when we were out eating, I said, hey, why don't you come over Wednesday night? We'll feed you and go to Bible class together. Because his business, it took him out of town, but he always made every effort to be there on Wednesday so he wouldn't miss Bible class. And he said, sure. So we made the appointment, and about 5 seconds later, I forgot I told him that. Have you ever done that? And so Wednesday night comes, we're getting the kids ready. We ordered pizza because, you know, time is kind of pinched. And we're just starting to clean the table when the doorbell rang. And I went, and there was old Bob. And when I saw Bob, I went, I realized I'd forgotten. I mean, I didn't tell Carla. Boy, I paid for that. Now, I don't do this a lot, okay? I really don't forget. I try not to forget. I know we all do. But we weren't prepared. And the second that opened the door, Bob knew it. And he said, I'll just go pick up something. And I said, no. Luckily, we ordered pizza. We got plenty left over. And we did, which was unusual. And so he came in. We fed him, and things worked out. It's not going to happen when we go to heaven. When we go there, we're going to find everything ready for us. Everything is set. Everything is prepared. There won't be any waiting list. There won't be any go sit in the waiting room until, you know, they can get to you. There's going to be a celebration. There's going to be a welcoming party. I've got so many things I could say here, but that's what the Lord tells us. In John 14, it's that very familiar passage that we remember. Do not let your hearts be troubled. But he's talking about eternity now and what's going to happen. So he says, first, don't become troubled about this. He says, believe God, because God has told us what's going to happen. And he says, believe in me, because I'm telling you. And he says, assure us. He says, if it wasn't so, he said, I wouldn't tell you this. But he says, in my Father's house are many dwelling places, mansions, depending on the translation you use. And he says, if it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, I'm not even going to deal with that. Obviously, the most spectacular thing about being in heaven is Jesus is going to be there. God will be there. We will be in their presence. And I have thought about that, longed about that, but that's not the things I'm going to say. That's the greatest thing of all. But he's going to come back and he's going to take us to a place that he himself has prepared especially for us. And that makes me feel so good, because when we go on a trip, I miss my bed. Do you? When we go out, I miss my place. I mean, you know, I've got my man cave. I know where everything is. It's set up just the way I want it. And you go somewhere strange and everything's not just exactly right. Well, heaven's going to be a place where we will go and everything. Can you imagine how good God is going to be at this? I mean, everything will be prepared just as I want it, just as I need it. I was driving from Greencastle this week and I saw this sign on the side of the road that said, crochet class. And I thought, I couldn't care less. I don't crochet. I thought, what a dumb thing. I'm not going now. There are probably folks out there going to ask me after church, where'd you see it and when's it starting? Because you're interested. We all have different things that we adore and love and enjoy. And they're making God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're making a place that is just absolutely perfect for us. That we will just fit in and be absolutely in awe of. I'm looking forward to that. Jesus goes on to tell us the place that's prepared in 2 Corinthians 5. He says, for we know that if the earthly tent, this body, which is our house, is torn down, we have, you notice that it's there, it's already, it's mine. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. But indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. I know about that growing in this body, don't you? There are people who come every week and, you know, I ask, how you doing? And they ask me, how am I doing? And I care, and I know many of you are suffering in pain, you're hurting. Every day is a challenge. We know what it's like to groan because we want some relief. Well, folks, there's a place and it's ready and it's going to be all the relief. No more of this pain. No more suffering. No more. God's made these places just for us, a place prepared. And when our time comes, if I understand the scriptures correctly, and this goes back to the parable Jesus told us about Lazarus and the rich man, Luke 16:22 tells us at the point of Lazarus' death, now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels. And I find that to be a thing, that when we die, I guess the first thing that we will see will be angels. Now, I'm so curious to see what an angel looks like. I have my imaginations, but we will see. Now we're not going to be flesh and blood. We're going to have a spiritual body. It's going to be eternal, immortal. It's never going to wear out. No pain. I mean, all of those promises are there. All of that's there. We're going to go and be carried to this place that's prepared for us by the angels. I was with a brother, first place of work, Levy Congregation in North Little Rock, Arkansas. His name was Murphy. He had been one of the elders. He got sick. He resigned from the eldership. Anyway, he had a terminal disease. And so we, godly, wonderful man. And when his time came, we met in the hospital. The family called all the ministers and said, hey, come up. He's on the verge. And this was one of my first experiences with this. And I walked into the hospital room and we gathered around. Of course, we were praying and he was comatose. But he had promised his wife that just before he died that he would let her know somehow that everything was going to be okay. Now, folks, this is going into the realm of I don't know. But I'll tell you what happened. Just before Brother Murphy died, he came out of it. His wife was sitting next to him holding his hand. He squeezed it and he said, honey, I see them. And now I'm going, okay, who does he see? We think, well, he's hallucinating. Did he see his family? I don't know, but did he? Was he connected? Long enough to tell us, I see them. And the last thing he said before he left was, I see him. Was it Jesus? I don't know, but folks, that's what's waiting for us. I'm not making a theological statement here. I can't back this up. I'm telling you what happened. And it's never left my mind. What a special thing death is for us. I know many fear it But we in Christ should not. It's a victory to take us to a place that will be beyond anything we've ever experienced. It'll be a place prepared for us. I saw, you remember the movie Ghost? Now, being a manly man, I didn't want to go see that because it was a chick flick, right? Right, guys? And I'm probably in trouble now. Carla's not here. I did take her. You know who got me to go see that movie? Shirley Bright. Shirley saw it, and one Wednesday night after class, she came up and she said, "Have you seen it?" And I said, "No, Shirley." And she started telling me the spiritual lessons in it. And so she piqued my interest enough to say, "Carla, let's go see it." And we did. Now, I got to tell you, I know that God does not expect us to stay around after somebody murders us so we can pay back the people who murdered us, which is basically what happens. And Patrick Swayze learns how to be a ghost and move. If you've seen it, okay. But you know what got my attention? I hope this works. That got my attention. The guy that killed him. Now, the angels came, right? The angels came to take away Lazarus. And so I went, "Whoa! You mean the demons come to..." Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? Let me tell you, folks, I don't want to experience that. And I don't expect to. What I expect is to see angels who take me back to my place. And I get to see everything. Yes, God is there. Yes, Jesus is there. Yes, the Holy Spirit. Yes, maybe we'll begin to understand the doctrine of the Trinity. But what we will experience is just so incredible. I don't want to miss it. I don't want you to miss it. And when we're facing the death of so many people that we love so dearly, this is what God's Word says occurs. And I suspect that Joe, bless his heart, and boy, I've tried to toughen up so I don't get emotional. But I suspect that Joe experienced that Friday night. And I expect that Marge Perry experienced that. And Brian Miller. And how many have we lost that we love dearly that have gone on? And it awaits us as well. And it's a victory for us, folks. And that's one thing when you look at this scene of heaven that the Bible gives us, the overlook, that's one thing. It will be, of course, beyond anything we imagine. Now, in Revelation 21, we have a picture. And I tell you, I can't do it justice. I try to imagine everything. But in Revelation, in the book of Revelation 21, beginning in verse 10, John writes, and he says, "And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God." And the first thing he says is, it had the glory of God. And so I'm already lost. I don't know what to do with that except to say, it's going to be something like we have never in our lives seen the glory of God. Can you imagine? We'll see Him. We'll be able to see Him. And His brilliance, he said, is like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. So I looked that up. I still don't know what it's going to look like. And we have this description of precious stones and gates and pearls and I imagine as I can. I just can't do it justice. Can you? And I think God was just trying to say, look, you take the most precious, the things that people in the world value the most beautiful, apply that to heaven, and it'll still be beyond anything that you can ever imagine. This is God's house. Can you imagine His man cave? I mean, can you imagine anything about where God exists? It's a spiritual plane. We're going to His house, His place. And spiritual, yes it is, I know. But folks, it's going to be beyond absolutely anything we imagine. Now, I know this about God. He loves beauty, and there are things that to this day just overwhelm me. Have you seen the recent moons? I have a Weather Channel notification on my iPhone, and I started getting notifications about this moon. It's not going to happen again for the next, you know, so many years. Well, unfortunately, I had to get up about 3:30 to see it. I didn't, okay? But I got other warnings, and did you see the moon not long ago? look like that. I stood out there and I watched it come up over the mountains. And I cried at the beauty. And I praised God. Oh, is God something else? And think of all the things He's made. Just simple insects. We don't give them a second thought. Look at the colors of the creation of God. Just everything is different. Every imaginable combination. Every color. I mean, God obviously loves color. You imagine, I don't ever see heaven as being all white or all one color. I see, you know, we've got this idea that we are on a white cloud floating around in white robes playing, you know, a harp. And I've told you before, folks, if that's heaven, that's going to be hell for me. I do not want to sit around playing a harp on a cloud. Now, if that's it, I'm not going to gripe. But that's not my idea of heaven. And God, look at His creation. Look at the people He made. Did He make us all the same? Did He make us all the same color, eyes, the same? God is so creative and so inventive. Unfortunately, man sees differences and says that's a reason to hate. No! It's a reason to praise God for His diversity in creation, and He loves us all. He's no respecter of persons. He doesn't put anyone above anyone else. That's our God, and just, that's one of my favorites. Look at that. I mean, God made that for my black light. That would glow, can you imagine? I mean, that's God's creation, and we could keep it up. How about sunsets? I pulled over and just said, oh, Lord, that's one of the most glorious things I have ever seen. I mean, He can color the sky with every imaginable color. And you think heaven's going to be boring? I told you Joseph Garish's question, didn't you? Big old Joseph. Traveling down to a youth rally. And Will and Joseph wanted to ride with me. I was thrilled. They were in middle school. And it was enjoyable every inch of the way. And they talked and they had questions. And finally, heaven and hell came up. And we talked about hell more than heaven. Isn't that the way it goes often? And then Joseph pipes up and he says, Mr. Richard, I don't know if I want to go. And I'm going, boy, have Melissa and Joe done a sorry job with this boy, you know? I mean, oh, come on! And you know what he's worried about? He said, I'm afraid I'll get bored. Well, yeah! Do you think so? With a God for whom nothing is impossible? For the God who has showed us all the beauty and the creativity? You think heaven is going to be boring? What are we going to do there? I don't know! That's the thing. It's beyond my imagination. So, look at this, and He made sunrises. I mean, you've seen them. You get up for early things, and oh, how precious and wonderful God is, and how marvelous His creation. We talk about flowers. We could be here all night just looking at the different flowers, couldn't we? So let's combine flowers and butterflies. Ain't I good? I mean, look at that. Are you kidding me? And birds, when we first moved here, it's when we moved to Robinwood. We had orioles raising in our backyard. That's the first time I'd ever seen an oriole. And I saw that nest, and it was so cool, and I didn't know much about them, and I thought, this is great, because we're going to have them year-round. Well, we have cardinals year-round. We have them all over. But, I mean, think of it. This is our God. This is His creation. He can make water in the sky shine light through it and make us these rainbows. Boring? I mean, look, sea creatures. How long did it take before men ever saw these things? And I thought, God, why did You make them? They've been underwater all these years. We couldn't go down there and see these things. It's just His pure creative enjoyment. I mean, I'll make a shrimp and I'm going to give him a green head and orange claws and a blue body and pink and purple legs, and then I'm going to stick His eyeballs up here. God, are You something? Can you imagine? Look at that. I mean, it just goes on. Every possible color, fluorescent, it just goes on and on. Sea creatures, it just... And then there's the night sky. Oh, my. One little girl was out walking with her dad one night. And she said, "Oh, Daddy, if the wrong side of heaven is so beautiful, what must the right side be?" Amen. Amen. He can do incredible things. And we get to see space at night. And I understand this guy because I've done it. I've looked at the starry night and the moon and just praised and worshiped until my heart was full of God. Folks, that's where we're going. That's what we're going to experience. But I can't tell you what it's going to be like. I can tell you it's going to be rapture. What do you mean rapture? I mean, it's going to be the most wonderful thing we've ever experienced. I think the greatest rapture in my life I ever experienced was falling in love with my wife. I couldn't believe that she would even give me the time of day. What a wonderful... Oh, you remember that? You remember? Woo! It'll be beyond anything like that, folks. I mean, the greatest rapture, this is what God does for us. Beyond imagination. I think there are a couple of things that really stand out. One is, part of the rapture is going to be there's going to be no evil there. I can't imagine a place where there's absolutely no evil. I get so aggravated at evil. Of course, I commit it myself. I don't want to. Sometimes I do. Just like you, I bet. But I really am getting to the point where I love and crave righteousness, and righteousness, not wrongness. And in heaven, everything is going to be right. Everything is going to be pure. There'll be no evil there. Mary Jo Franklin some years ago walked out of a Walmart and a couple in the car drove by and the woman reached out and grabbed her purse. And they drove away dragging Mary with them. And I'm thinking now, the police chased them, they caught them, she suffered some injuries. They found them with two kids in the back seat, heroin in their possession, so you get the idea. None of that will ever happen. There'll be no mass shootings, no mass murders, no school. I mean, doesn't the evil in the world sometimes just make you sick? Not in heaven, folks. Not in heaven. It's not going to be there. And everything good will be. There'll be no bad, everything good. Personally, I struggle with that. What is that going to be like? Well, that's the rapture I'm talking about. And there's going to be restoration. By the way, part of the rapture for me, I'm thinking, is I want to go find Moses and see if he really looked like Charlton Heston. You know, I do. I want to go see David. I want to hear Job tell me his story. I really do. I want to see the Israelites walk through the Red Sea on dry land. I want to see Elijah taken up to heaven in a whirlwind of fire. Those are some things that I really hope to see. And I could go on and on and on, obviously, about that. Well, that's the thing about heaven. It's going to be so great. It's a time of restoration. What do you mean by that? Blind folks are going to see. Lame folks are going to walk or fly or whatever we're going to be doing. I mean, everything that we are limited or that we have lost, it's going to be restored to us. I don't understand it. It's a spiritual body, but nonetheless, the Bible talks about our eternity as restoration. Let me read you what one man wrote back in the 1500s. His name was John Bradford, and I'll just read that. And I know we're over time and I'm rushing. We'll get there. He says, "I am assured that though I want here, I will have riches there. Though I hunger here, I shall have fullness there. Though I faint here, I shall be refreshed there. And though I be accounted here as a dead man, I shall there live in perpetual glory. Heaven is the city promised to the captives whom Christ shall make free. It is the kingdom assured to them whom Christ shall crown. There is the light that shall never go out. There is the health that shall never be impaired. There is the glory that shall never be defaced. There is the life that shall taste no death. There is the place that passes all the world's imaginations. There is the world that shall never decline. There is every want supplied freely without money. There's no danger, but happiness and honor and singing and praise and thanksgiving and love unto the heavenly Jehovah, to him that sits on the throne, to the Lamb that here was led to the slaughter, that now reigns on high. Revelation tells us that familiar passage, and I heard a loud voice, Revelation 21, 3 and 4, from the throne, saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. There's going to be restoration, folks. Everything is going to be made just fine. And I want you to know that heaven is not a myth. It's not made up. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a story. The Bible refers to heaven as a house, a city, a country, a kingdom, things that we have all experienced that are real. Heaven is real. We're going to one of the two places. I know the one I want to go to. How about you? I mean, it's real. We're going to see it. I know that we have difficulty because it is beyond anything we can imagine. And I'm finally coming to peace with that. I've prayed and said, God, I really want to know more. Well, he hasn't come down and said, here. So I keep reading the Bible, but boy, that scenic overlook. Wow. What God has prepared for us. It's fantastic. In 2 Corinthians, we read our text in 2 Corinthians 5. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul says, look, I saw it. He says, boasting is necessary, though it's not profitable, but I'll go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or out of the body I don't know, God knows, such a man was caught up to the third heaven. That's where God lives. You've got the first heaven, second heaven, which is our space. First heaven is our earth atmosphere, second space, third is where God lives. He says, I was caught up there, and I know how such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I don't know, God knows, was caught up into paradise. I think that's where paradise now is, but that's another study. And he heard inexpressible words, which a man is not permitted to speak. And basically what Paul is saying to us is, I saw where we're going. I saw what's waiting for us, and I don't have the words to tell you what it's like. Can you imagine? But I'll tell you what it caused Saul to do. Remember he gave us that list of things he went through, beaten times without number, beaten with rod three times, shipwreck and it in the sea a night and a day, in danger from rivers, in danger from robbers, in danger from my countrymen. I'm everywhere he went. I was in danger in the country, I was in danger in the city. All of that, the suffering that he went through. And here's what he's got to say about it in 2 Corinthians 4:16-17. Therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. And here he goes. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond comparison. When we get there, I don't care what you've gone through. I don't think any of us have gone through the things Paul has. Paul says, you take it all and you set it next to what's waiting for us. It's momentary light affliction. It ain't nothing. It ain't nothing compared to what's waiting for us. Now, folks, that's where we're going. Somebody said years ago, heaven is a place for people prepared. For prepared people. And it does. God's got it, a prepared place for us. But we need to make sure that we're on the way. I won't linger on this one too long, but last point. Heaven, folks, is going to be reunion. When David committed that terrible sin with Bathsheba, one of the results of the sin was that the child that they conceived was to die. David fasted, he prayed, he begged God to let him live, but it was not God's will. And when they finally came to him and they were worried about him, that he was going to lose his health, that he was going to fast and kill himself. But when the child died, David said he got up and he ate and he cleaned up. And he says, now he has died. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? No. But he said, I will go to him, but he will not return to me. Well, that means more to me every year that I'll get to see the people. It means I get to see Joe again. It means I get to see Brian again. Think of all the people in this congregation over the years that we've said goodbye to. I miss Randy Wallach. Many of you never got to meet Randy. Boy, did you miss a blessing. I just love Randy. Remember the day I baptized him? We studied for quite a while. Randy was from a denominational background, and he wasn't ready to accept everything Scripture said about salvation. And he's a smart man, and so we battled some. And I remember when he made up his mind. And we had been talking, I guess it had been maybe a couple of nights before, about receiving the Holy Spirit. And I told him, I said, you know, you're not going to feel anything. It's not like when you're baptized, you get all the like some people say. But God's going to give us the Holy Spirit. So when I baptized Randy, you know, he was about to get this tall, strong as an ox and yet sick with diabetes. Well, when I baptized him, I misjudged him. This was in the old baptistry. And when I took him under, I whacked his head really good on one of the stairs. I mean, I don't know if you remember, but I heard it clearly. It went thump-bump. And I brought Randy up, and of course he hugged me and we rejoiced. And after we welcomed him, Randy turned to me and he said, Richard, I thought you said I wasn't going to feel anything when I was baptized. I miss Randy Wallach. I miss Walter Krause. I miss Jim Carpenter. It's too tender. I miss my mom and my dad, my brother. But by the grace of God, I'll see him again. I'll see him all. Do you want to go there? Do you? He's prepared it. It's there. It's waiting for us. Every time death happens, if it's a Christian, I say, God, thank you for the victory. It's the victory I want to experience too. But I hurt over the loss. But one day, all of that will be gone. And we will experience what heaven is about. Brothers and sisters, this is why Jesus went to the cross. God said, if I'm going to get you there, you need to be washed in the blood of my Son. That's why we tell people to believe that Jesus is the Christ, because he says that's essential to have eternal life. We tell people repent of their sins because our Lord and Savior said that's essential for you to inherit eternal life. We tell people to make the confession because the Lord said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. And we instruct people to be baptized because that's where we're baptized, in the blood of Jesus. And we have all of our sins washed away. And God makes us fit to inherit heaven. Are you prepared? We've looked at the scenic overlook. It's there. It's waiting. There isn't anything in this world that's worth missing that. We're going to stand and sing the invitation song and ask you to come if you're not ready, and to make certain that you're prepared for this wonderful thing that waits us as we faithfully serve Jesus. Come while we stand and sing.